WTXY 1540, you're listening to The Patterson Show. It's your host, Tristan Patterson, your conservative voice for Columbus County. And today we have a guest, a conservative blogger, I guess you would say, Randy Dye. Mr. Dye, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Good. You sound a little bit hoarse. Have you been yelling a lot lately?
Yes, I definitely have. My fault. I threw my cords out at the SIU rally yesterday when we counter-protested in there at the General Assembly.
Okay. Well, Randy, tell us a little bit about you first, and then we'll get to why you were yelling at the SIU.
Okay. Yeah, I'm Randy Dye. I'm a conservative blogger, Randy's Right. And I got into politics probably like everyone else did maybe 4 years ago when I started figuring out what was going on. I'm a constitutionalist conservative, but basically I've always been a conservative in nature.
And so you started this, and you got a website. The website address, if you want to give it to our listeners out there, is what?
If you just Google Randy's Right, it'll come up. It's all over the place.
Randy's Right, and you're making sure your voice is heard. And what were you yelling at recently? What was the big thing at the State General Assembly? What was the protest about?
Well, I guess the SEIU and the NAACP have joined forces to support what the unions are doing in Wisconsin. And we kind of don't agree with that. Number one, we're trying to figure out why the NAACP would have anything to do with the union. And we're just not letting them get away with it anymore. We're going out there and confronting them, asking them, why are you supporting the union? They didn't have a very good answer, except it was basically social justice was their answer to us.
And social justice is used for so many different things under different labels, and it's usually for liberal means, isn't it?
Yeah, in fact, it worries me because I've seen, just within my churches here, I've seen the social justice movement enter the church. And I think there's a lot of people with good intentions are believing it, but I don't think they realize where it's going to, and it's leading to socialism. I just think a lot of people just aren't seeing through that yet.
Isn't that sad? And as I went around and through politics and such, I heard a lot of times people use the phrase social justice, and a lot, almost none of them could really tell you what that meant and how it went about it. And the ones that did, explained about taking away from those who worked hard and had money as the part of their social justice. And we know that as something else, right?
Right. And, that's one of our arguments that we were with the unions the other day in Wisconsin. Wisconsin school teachers, and there's nothing wrong with school teachers. That's probably the worst point is the money's not getting to the school teachers. The money's going to the bureaucracy of the education. But yet, I've worked 40 years as a trauma nurse, in hospitals. Never once in my life did I ever have my employer pay my full medical insurance. I always had to had a deductible for my family, nor did they ever pay my full wages for my pension. And again, I just think that's wrong.
And the reason that the healthcare is situated that way with most companies is because they found that it's important that people have a hand or financially invested in their healthcare, right?
Absolutely.
Instead of giving it to free, and then you might use it or abuse it, and that way, and Arkansas kind of has a system in place for people of need, but they still have an investment in their own healthcare, which creates a better healthcare system of people taking care of themselves and such. Now, Randy, at this protest, how many folks were there on each side?
Well, the SEIU and NAACP probably had at least a minimum of 100 people. We didn't find out about this rally until 24 hours in advance that they were doing it in front of the General Assembly in Raleigh. So it was just through networking, through friends, conservative groups, conservative blogs that we were able to at least get 30 people to show up and make a stand.
Okay, and what was the reaction from the other side? I mean, how did they handle you guys using your First Amendment to be out there?
I have to say, it was they were civil, but what amazes me is we were listening to what I think Reverend Barber was one of the speakers. He's the man who's in charge of the NAACP for North Carolina, and he was telling the audience that North Carolina is out of compliance with international labor laws, and we're kind of scratching our heads saying, what in the world is he talking about? And there was many things that, and I believe that some of the people there on their side are good people. Again, I think they're being misguided, and I think Reverend Barber and these other leaders know this, and I think they know that they're taking advantage of good people that don't know any better, and that's why I have a problem with Reverend Barber. He kept saying my black brothers, my brown brothers, my black sisters, my white sisters, and I told him, you know, God doesn't see color.
Right.
And I don't see color. I see Americans. So, again, he's encouraging that type of racist behavior, which we've seen in the past. In other words, he's trying to keep that aspect of our society alive. And actually, I don't see, yeah, racism still exists. There's no doubt.
Right,
but
of course.
I do not see racism at the point where he makes it appear to be in our society. Nowadays, I mean, the people are so well protected by our government. I mean, if a Latino person or a black person or anyone goes in and they feel that they were,
wrongfully prejudiced against in any way.
Right. You can take them to court and own the company.
Right.
and they should if someone's actually doing that. But again, I think we have enough laws to protect everyone in our society that it's just the NAACP probably needs to go away. It was probably good at one point, and it was probably very honorable.
Right.
But just last, I think 2 months ago, when the NAACP here in North Carolina said the Tea Parties were racist and bigots, I lost total respect for that foundation. And so did a lot of my black conservative friends that I have.
And you'll see almost that they try to create more of a divide, and a divide that's not even oftentimes even there. In groups and in people and in the population, just to have something almost to fight about, it seems like, huh?
I agree, and it's almost, I don't know how to explain it, but, you know, I'm a person that's not politically correct. I'm all about truth, and sometimes the truth can be dangerous. But, again, when you start enslaving people to a racist idea, that's all they're doing at that point. If there's a problem between a white and black man, let's step up to each other and talk it out, figure out what the problem is. But again, half the time, I don't think there's the problem that they make it appear to be.
Right, and in the Tea Parties in particular, which they like to call out as being very racist, I'm not sure why, other than they're scared of it. But I haven't seen it. I've been to my fair share of them, and I've even organized one or two. And I have not seen that there. I've seen all genders and colors and races and religions all together for one cause, and that cause is for conservative spending and to make our folks that we send up there accountable, right?
I agree. And I myself have been to these, and I'm sure you've been to them too, where they try to bait you into the race car. And I don't tell everybody this, not that I'm ashamed of it, I just don't want to make an issue out of it. But, you know, my grandchildren are half black. My sister married a Hispanic. It's just like, okay, no, and I love them all dearly. It's just, why are they doing calling me a bigot? So you see my point. I don't go and tell them that, but I know in my heart where my heart's at, and as long as I know the truth, it's okay.
That's right. And Randy telling them that probably wouldn't help the situation anyway. So they just want to be angry. But how did you get, you know, how did you really, you were a trauma nurse, you said. What really made you get into this blogging and getting on the internet and using the power of the internet?
Actually, it was, I got started in this in Chatham County about 4 years ago when we had a very liberal commissioner. Now, we just recently had a historical vote here. We voted three of the three Republican commissioners in, which is historical for this county. But to make a long story short, the commissioners here in Chatham County voted in an ICE resolution. And what this did was it made it illegal for any county agency to contract with immigration enforcement. Now, I really didn't want to go out. I didn't really want a 287G program or anything here in the county. I don't think we need it. But what they did by doing that, the next day in the CAPASA paper, our Sheriff Webster's picture was on the front page of the CAPASA newspaper saying no 287 Chatham County. This information gets all the way down to south of the border, telling the coyotes this is where we ship our illegal immigrants. We have another county in North Carolina that is a safe haven, and that's all they did overnight. So, and that's where I got into this. And there was no vote on this ICE resolution. They said there was public input. Well, there was public input after they passed the ICE resolution.
Right. And Chatham County...
I just seen things getting haywired there, and we all found about the newspaper the next day. So that's what started me to seeing how things were really getting things just weren't being truthful.
And you've made a significant impact. You're all over Facebook. You have your Randy's Right, which the direct website is randysright.wordpress.com. And you keep people informed, and you stay on top of from your Facebook page. You stay on top of elected officials and non-elected officials and candidates and everybody in between. And you've got a following of almost 5,000 people on your Facebook page. So you're making a pretty decent impact. And for, blogging for our listeners out there who aren't aware, who haven't been on the we're in a rural area down here, Randy, where not everybody has internet high speed yet. Well, blogging is basically you going out and putting your concerns online and spreading the information that needs to be spread to the right people, right?
Correct.
Or to everybody.
And I feel for you. That is painful if you all don't have high-speed internet. We just got ours here in Chatham County 2 years ago, and we were just lucky we're part of the county that has high-speed internet. But I feel for you all if you're still on dial-up.
It's slowly getting here. You know, when I first got here, I thought I'd never have to use dial-up again, and was in Tabor City, North Carolina, which is a small town, and I actually had to sign up for dial-up for a month or two before I got high-speed internet, and it was a true test of my patience. to try to look up websites like that. Randy, we're going to take a quick break, but you're going to stay with us and talk a little bit more politics and blogging here. Just give me 1 second. We'll say a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back with The Patterson Show on WTXY 1540.
Divorce is hard. It affects everyone, spouses and children, family and friends. And after the legal process, there is still so much to deal with. Powerful emotions, painful questions. Is there any hope for a better life? There is, and it begins at the Journey of Hope 2011 conference in Marietta, Georgia, March 4th through the 6th, 2011. For more information, go to journeyofhopeconference.com.
WTXY 1540, Patterson Show, with Tristan Patterson, your conservative voice for Columbus County. We have Randy Dye as our guest today, a conservative blogger who has been kind of all over the place. Randy, I Googling your name and finding information about you. There's videos, there's blogs, there's guest columns, there's kind of everything. Did you realize when you started this that you would get this deep in it?
No, I didn't. But I'm not trying to paint a hero here, because I'm not. I just want to show people that I am just a simple citizen with no political background. And one person, if you just step up, contact the newspapers, and step up and try to tell the people the truth any way you can to get the word out. And that's all I've done. I've just made contacts. I think, and now I had an idea as grassroots, we're reaching out to the politicians now, and I'll interview whether if you're Democratic or Republican. We just interviewed our county commissioner. We just interviewed Glenn Bradley, who's one of our North Carolina representatives at the General Assembly. And tomorrow I'm going to Dunn to interview Congressman Renee Elmers.
And you're interviewing them, and what are you finding out about these candidates or elected officials?
Well, most of them, the Democrats have not allowed me to interview them. I'd be more than willing. I told them there would be no trick questions. I just... I asked very truth and open questions. And I asked him what's their goals, what's their visions. Tomorrow I may ask Renee Elmers what's her feeling on the unions and what's going on in Wisconsin and Indiana, where the Democrat representatives are fleeing the state so they don't have to vote on, on serious issues with labor. I think that's a total cop-out. And I'll ask Renee if she wants to comment on that. And, again, I'm not out to get nobody if they don't want to comment. Just
right.
Say I care not to care my comment on it, and I leave it at that. But I'm a pretty fair interviewer, and so is David, the one who does it with me. So people, the politicians have been pretty receptive for us coming to her office and interviewing her.
And Randy, you mentioned the Democrat leadership or the Democrat representatives in those two states kind of fleeing. Tell us a little bit about that, if you know the information about what's going on in those states. Why are they leaving the state, and what's it going to accomplish?
Well, apparently what the Republican, most of these states, this last election in the state elections, Republicans won, or I should say conservatives. And what they're trying to do is to pass some anti-union bills. And what the unions are doing, like they're trying to do in North Carolina, North Carolina is a right-to-work state. They are actually trying, they're trying to pass a bill, as in these other states, going after these right-to-work states, where if they get rid of the right-to-work law, that means that if you're a state employee, you lose your liberty of choice. In other words, if you're a state employee, you have to belong a union. You no longer have a choice. And I don't care if it's liberal or conservative. Anytime you lose your choice, you've just given up a liberty. And right now, that's the big focus on unions. And again, this is the first time in my life that I've seen a president or a commander-in-chief actually organize civil unrest by using the unions as he's done today. And that can be proved, that can be proven just by going to his blog site, Organizing for America. All these visits where the SIU is going out throughout different states to rally, he's behind all this. I just don't think that's a president's place to do that.
It's not. It's to be the commander-in-chief and kind of stay neutral on some state issues, isn't it?
You would think so.
Well, they want more and more power, and with each president, it seems that they've tried to take more and more to the federal government and take it away from us, the people, right?
Right. And all I'm for is, of course, it's like religion. You know, religion and the government is a necessary evil, if that makes any sense to you. I believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, but again, the religion aspect of it is an unnecessary evil, just like government is. But I want government to shrink down to its core value or what it's supposed to do. Right now, government is so involved in our lives, way over whatever our forefathers intended them to be for in the first place.
And not to get off subject, but let's explain the religion part a little bit here. This is a conservative Christian area down here in Columbus County, and me being a Christian also, I'm thinking, and correct me if I'm wrong, but what you mean is religion is man's thing, and when man gets involved, we kind of mess it up, don't we?
Right. Actually, I mean, you have the New Testament there. You have Jesus' words. We've seen, in fact, my wife and I in our Chatham County KTM that we hold here in our county actually went to UNC last night and listened to Son of Hamas.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually touring the country. This is the eldest son of the Hamas leader, the one who founded Hamas, and he's converted to Christianity. And he was an extremely, extremely intelligent and brave young man. I'm surprised this man is still alive. I don't know how much longer he'll live. But he has, because when the Muslim leaves the Muslim faith to be a Christian, I think that's a big no-no if I understand the Quran correctly.
Right, I believe.
He gave a very strong and hard detailing where, it's one of those things I can't get, that'd be too long to get into it. But if he does come to you, go see this gentleman and hear him talk.
And you're talking about, I believe, Mosab Hassan Yosef, which is often referred to as, I believe, an autobiography he wrote, which is Son of Hamas, a gripping account of terror, betrayal, political intrigue, and unthinkable choices.
Right.
And
he also worked with the Israeli intelligence back and forth. I mean,
right,
the poor man, he got arrested and he got caught, and he was beat severely by the Israeli police, because he was caught with guns. But again, that's another story where it's too much to get into. But it's a very intriguing story. But I left this with all I could think was, this man finally gets it. He understands God. He understands Jesus. One of what Jesus did was not to enslave us to religion, but to get us away from religion to back to truth. And I think that's what he's found in his life. He's read the Quran, he's read all these things, and he's found that simply Jesus is the truth. And and the man got it. It's just, it's a very moving thing that this gentleman has gone through in his life.
Right, and this is a true testament of Christ's work in our lives and the forgiveness that he grants, and to somebody who did and was around unthinkable things, right?
Yeah, he was around very unthinkable things, and he says, and he did focus on that our God is a God of unconditional love and forgiveness. And he said that, you know, that many of the people in the Islamic faith are misguided in their faith. And what his point is, he still loves Muslims. It's just the religion has been manipulated to suit man's agenda, not God's agenda. And he's seen where when he found Jesus, he understood it.
And
I apologize, I'm losing my voice.
Oh, you're fine, and we're going to go ahead and let you go here in a second. But tell us what we're going to let you go to your KTM meeting, and tell us what the KTM meeting is.
Well, KTM stands for Kitchen Table Meeting. It's back from the old days when after church, you know, you'd go over to a friend's house, you'd sit and have dinner, and the kids outside, and the adults would sit around and talk politics. Well, we basically open up our house to the community for conservatives. It doesn't matter if you're Democrat or Republican. And we discuss events going on in the world. It's a good communication network. It builds community. We've met people 6 miles away that we never would have met before. And it's going great. We set up, whatever agenda, whatever needs to be done to help the conservative movement, we're out there doing it.
Well, Randy, you're a true testament of what citizens can do for people and getting involved and beating the drum for conservative values, and I thank you for that, and our listeners out there, thank you, and I hope they'll visit your website, which is, if they just put your name in Google, it's Randy Dye or Randy's Right, and it'll pop up with all the crazy things you've been involved in, right?
There you go.
And I take care of your voice. I hope you feel better, and I appreciate you being on with me.
Okay, God bless and thank you.
Thank you. We're going to go to another break, and we'll be right back with the Patterson Show on WTXY 1540.
Divorce is hard. It affects everyone, spouses and children, family and friends. And after the legal process, there is still so much to deal with. Powerful emotions, painful questions. Is there any hope for a better life? There is, and it begins at the Journey of Hope 2011 conference in Marietta, Georgia, March 4th through the 6th, 2011. For more information, go to journeyofhopeconference.com.
WTXY 1540, you're listening to The Patterson Show, and I'm your host, Tristan Patterson, and we had a great guest on, Randy Dye, a great conservative Christian who just a citizen trying to do the right thing. And we're going to finish up the show with a little friendly banter with another conservative. We've got Mr. Hoover from Florida on, who we're going to talk whatever's on our mind today. How are you, sir?
Good. How you doing there, Tristan?
I am doing great. We're on the air on a beautiful Friday in North Carolina. We've got unrest up in the Midwest with unions. We've got all kinds of issues going on. What a crazy, crazy time for politics in our country, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, and as a son of a actual union steward for 33 years. And I was brought up in a union household, and I'm an actual union member myself for another 32 years. So I had a father who was in the union for 33 years, and I was brought up around the dinner table to make sure you get yourself a job that is not in construction and one that has a union to protect your rights. You know, and unions at the time when my father was around, you know, it brought us all some of the wonderful things that, you know, obviously a lot of us enjoy today, like some of the holidays off.
It served a purpose, right?
It definitely served a purpose. But in times like this, and, you know, I'm still a member, like I said, of a union, but the problem we have now is we've got the actual AFL-CIO union president. He is in the office of the United States president of our president. And giving him information, he's daily talking to this guy, and he's already said that he basically doesn't even like capitalism. So, from my point of view, I have a decision to make. Is it country over myself, or is it myself over country? So the decision, you know, I've made is, you know, I have to put country over myself.
Absolutely, and that's kind of what we've talked about today with the first guest we had on, who's a conservative who was not involved in politics, but decided that he could no longer sit in the background and had to do the right thing and speak up. And you mentioned the union boss being in there with the president. We talked about that earlier too. They talk. Have you ever seen a president get so involved with so many state and union issues in your lifetime?
Well, I don't mind him being involved in it. It just the problem is we've got so many other issues out there in the world. The world's on fire. The Middle East is on fire. He's given state dinners to China. And in the middle of all this, I mean, he's concerned about state issues. He needs to stick to the federal budget, which his budget bill is way over the line. You've got all these other issues that are going around. Israel is absolutely surrounded by enemies. Not a peep do you hear out of this guy. So, for me, sitting back here, and I've got my AFL-CIO boss sitting there speaking to him, and this is out of his own mouth, daily. He's in conversations. He's in the White House. He's speaking to him daily. How much other time does he spend on these other issues?
Right, and I don't know what's going to happen in Indiana, which is one of the places that's having the issue, but it looks like the Indiana Republicans or conservatives have backed down, and they say they won't revive the it's, quote, listed as an anti-union bill, but it's truly just a bill that is a right-to-work bill, and it looks like the Republicans are going to back off and not try to continue on.
Well, what you have is you have men with no backbone. That's what we have in this country. And what you really have is you see more of the ladies standing up and taking a lead role. And a couple of them will be Michelle Bachmann, Sarah Palin, some of the South Carolina governor there.
Nikki Haley in South Carolina, right down the road, wonderful lady.
Absolutely. And so you've got some other, and obviously some other ones, but you see a lot of the men with no backbones. A lot of the legislators, I don't care whether there's a D or an R beside their name, if you flee to go to another state so that the government can't run, I mean, you're fleeing. What are you fleeing from? Stand there and state your argument and vote on it.
Right.
You don't shut government down because you don't get your way.
And these, I've said this often on the air, of we've got to get rid of politicians. And this is what these guys are. Into a harsher tone, it would be men without backbone or folks without scruples or conviction. We need to get rid of these people and stop electing them and reelecting them. And I think that's kind of what we started to do in 2012. Do you think that
absolutely.
Do you think that kind of anger, that kind of resolve of the American people is going to continue on in 2 years in 2012? Is that what are we going to remember it?
Oh, absolutely. I see it out here with people. They're barely hanging on by their fingernails. Businesses every day, they're just barely hanging on. People that are, and the problem is that this government here wants to replace God with government. And that's basically what they're in the middle of doing. Now, I don't even know if they even realize they're doing it. Because this is a spiritual battle that we're in here. And it's greater than what we all know. And we all just need to go to the good book. And I know everybody in the great state of North Carolina knows what I'm talking about.
That's
when
right.
I say the good book. That's the Bible. That's the Word of God. And you can see it right there, what exactly is going on. The great thing is we can pray, and we can have great peace in our lives through our Father God and His Son Jesus Christ. Now, in reference to the politicians, term limits are the issue here. That's what
right.
we need. They need to have one or two terms, and they're back farming, or they're back working in the office, or they're back doing whatever they're doing. But none of this 30, 40 years in Washington. Absolutely,
that was nowhere near what they our founding fathers had envisioned. I don't think. I think they really were hoping that the farmers would step up and the folks would step up in this, especially in the state. The state, when you're being, because they were envisioning that the states would run themselves, really. And they really thought the states would run themselves, and North Carolina would be run by tobacco farmers at the time, and the other states would be run by whatever industry or population controlled it, right? And we've gone so far from that where men and women are 30-year politicians who make their living making $180,000 in Congress no other real true job experience other than that they could convince people to vote for them.
Absolutely. What you have is you have people that are like you said, career politicians, and the only thing they know is how to make regulations. Meanwhile, they don't live under that regulations that they make. They're free from all those regulations that they make. They've exempted themselves from those regulations.
Isn't that pure insanity? I mean, and for our listeners out there, Mr. Hoover's talking about the several bills in 2008 and 2009 that came, and even before that, I guess, but especially the Obamacare and stuff like that, where the Congress exempted themselves from being under the penalties or whatever the legislation said. Congress said, we're better than the American citizens, right?
Absolutely. Just take the health, any of the bills, the financial reform bill, the health care bill. I mean, none of them were read. They're all pages that are left blank so they can have their czars. Now, what are we in, Russia? Czars? I mean, have we lost our minds to live under a country like this to where we literally have czars? Now, hopefully there'll be some men and women that we've elected recently that will stand up and strip the power of the czars, give them no power at all. And in reference to the unions and the original call, the unions, they definitely have a place, but they need to bend and they need to realize the situation we're in. Unfortunately, you have the leaders that are up there that do not. They're making their living off the troughs of people like my father and me for 60 years.
And is there a fear of or not a fear, I guess, but is there an issue with, and I have lots of friends who work for companies outside of North Carolina, because there's not too many in North Carolina that have unions around, but there's companies, major companies, who I know friends of mine are concerned about speaking up against the union, even though they're so conservative and they wish the union would stand out of their way of getting promotions and such. Is there that concern when you work for a union?
Well, I think there is, deep down there is, but the real concern I see is a lot of times people, say, look, this is mine and I've worked for it. Well, that is true. You definitely have worked for it and you definitely have paid into it. Let's take pensions, for example. Pensions are the hot item right now. Obviously, if you've paid into a pension, but you've got some pensions out there with state pensions, and for that matter, we're talking about state pensions right now, or whatever, doesn't matter. Some up pension where they haven't paid anything into it. Now these governors are coming back, and they've been elected by the people, and they were asking the workers to pay some money into their pensions. Well, does that make sense, considering that the budget is going absolutely broke? I mean, Detroit, they just shut down, they got 60 kids to a classroom now.
Right.
I mean, how are you going to educate children that way?
Can you imagine trying to learn as an adult in that environment, let alone in that loud environment, let alone being a child and the attention span of a child and 60 other rambunctious kids around?
Right. Now, if you the states were meant to be the foundation of this, one of the foundations of this country was states' rights. And if you would just let they would let the states, Massachusetts tried health care. Okay. It failed. They should have got the answer from there.
Right.
And so now each individual state should be allowed to do health care. They should be allowed to do if a state wants to have gay marriage, fine, let it have gay marriage. That's up to the voters there. If they want to have abortion, let that state have abortion. It's up to the state to allow whatever it wants within their citizens. It's a state's rights issue. And now the state of Arizona, they write a bill, and now you've got the federal government that is supposed to be just an overseer,
right,
suing the state of Arizona.
Right.
I mean, we are living in insanity land.
It is, and you talked about Massachusetts, and you talked about we talked a little bit about the future of the future of politics and some of the women that you mentioned stepping up. Now, 2012 is coming up here. There's going to be a lot of announcements shortly on who's going to be running in 2012 for the Republican nomination. Who Who do you have? Who do you want to be one-on-one with President Obama come 2012 in November?
Well, in reference to any of the men, at this point, I don't see any of the men. Newt Gingrich, he's a tremendous speaker. He's got way too much baggage. I mean, they've already gone through this guy like Grant took Richmond. So, I mean, and Grant took Richmond should really take hold right there in North Carolina.
Right.
So, I mean, so, you know, he's done. You've got some of the other ones that are just, you know, that are just weak.
And you mentioned Massachusetts, and that's kind of why I brought it up, was Governor Romney was the governor up there, and he kind of touted that as we got, you know, health care in Massachusetts for all our citizens, and it's a colossal, I don't know if waste is the term, but a colossal failure. And he's somebody that a lot of conservative friends and brethren of mine really liked, and I could never get on the bandwagon for because of his switching of issues constantly on abortion, gay rights. I think if you're for something, you're for it, and it's hard to see someone switch for political reasons, I think. So I wouldn't see him be the one, but right now a lot of folks say he's one of the front runners.
Well, you know, they all start out as the front runners, and then by the time it gets to the election time, then you've got the real two.
Hillary Clinton
going.
Was the front runner at 1.2. Remember that, right?
Absolutely, no question. And, you know, and we'll see. I mean, you know, from what I see, and you know, and I guess you know a little bit. And I hate to use this word because as a Christian man, I'm not given the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. I don't know if anybody is going to be able to defeat this current president we have right now.
Really?
And as a Christian, I pray for him every day.
Of course.
And the reason I don't, here's the reason I don't believe it is because there's too many people that are going to be dependent on this current government. And the reason I say that, the economy is just spiraling out of control here.
And nobody knows that better than somebody from Florida, right? I mean, the housing market is in shambles.
Absolutely destroyed down here. Absolutely.
And so,
I mean, if somebody from Europe or Japan or wherever wants to buy a house for inexpensive, come to the great state of Florida.
And the dollar's worth nothing right now, so folks from overseas actually could come here and buy a significant house for almost you could say pennies on the dollar to them, really.
Absolutely, yeah. For the euro, yeah, not even a question. Yeah, I mean, the euro. I mean, they're definitely getting their money's worth.
But
inflation issue is something that's not talked about. That's the problem we got now. Is we've got inflation, which is the hidden undercurrent. I mean, you've got the Middle East completely on flames. Everybody's looking at the signs. The gas is $3.19, $3.20, $3.25 a gallon right now. Well, guess what, folks? It'll be $5 in about maybe 7-8 months from now.
That's not good news for me when I've got my Dodge Ram 5.2 V8 Magnum sitting outside waiting to take me home, and that $3 a gallon's already hurting. So I'm not looking forward to anything above that.
Absolutely not. Me neither.
and gas should be, I think inflation wise, should be around anywhere from $2 to $2.80. Depending on the demand for it, but anything above that is really caused by the issues over in the Middle East and the inflation issues that we've let get out of hand.
Well, the problem is that the environmentalists and the people that are running this administration, basically, I mean, we're shooting off a rocket out of California tomorrow or Thursday or Friday. We're shooting it up, and you know what that rocket's going up for?
What's
it's
going
to go up and study global climate change. Now, don't you think we're going to maybe land that rocket, keep it on the ground, let's not shoot it up, and maybe, you know, let's feed some people.
That's right.
Mean, are we going to shoot up a million-dollar rocket?
Million?
To find out about
I'm going to guess that costs significantly more than $1 million. Has the federal government, somebody might be able to build it for $1 million, but the federal government typically does not come in under cost.
Well, I was just throwing a mark that we could understand out
right.
there. Who knows what the thing costs? But I know it's going up to study something really stupid.
Right.
That's for sure. It's already been proven. You know, global climate change or whatever they want to call it, it doesn't exist.
Right. It's
the emails have been found out already, but they continually you know, badger people about that. They want us to stop pollution. Meanwhile, the great polluter in the whole world is China.
Right.
And we're giving them a three-course meal at the White House, and we're throwing the Israelis out the back door.
Where's the communist Chinese sanctions?
Well, you know, they're allowed to do whatever they want with anybody. I mean, there is no freedom of anything over there.
Right.
Just like, you know, we don't hear anything out of him about Libya.
Right.
He was flip-flopping on Egypt, and he finally came out and said something just recently about Libya. I mean, he strongly condemns them. Big deal. Have a nice day. I mean, this is the guy that did the Lockerbie bomber.
Right.
In Pan Am 103 or over Scotland when his ambassador just said, or whatever his foreign minister just said, that he was the one behind it.
Right.
So,
it's incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you've got dictators. All Saudi Arabia falls. I mean, you've got some major trouble.
Absolutely. We got to wrap it up here shortly, but let's get back to the 2012. Who are you thinking is going to have the best chance versus President Obama? And you know, you would know down in Florida. I mean, you said that folks aren't going to vote for. They're going to be relying on President Obama. Florida's a key state, a key flip state, and Florida's in shambles right now. A lot of folks are going to be relying on the federal government.
Well, it's definitely going to be somebody, you know, with some business backbone behind them. I don't know who, and they're going to have to pick somebody that's going to bring along the people that are out there in the Tea Party, because there's tons of people out there in the Tea Party, unorganized Tea Party,
right?
You know, that have no affiliation with the Tea Party. They just, it's the silent majority, is what Ronald Reagan called them.
Right.
They are awakening. They are awake, and you saw what they did in 2010.
Right.
Recently, so now that's gonna definitely happen coming up here again. I don't know if we can still. I just don't know. I don't want to give you any names because I really don't know who will be the winners. I know Newt Gingrich is not going to win.
Michelle Bachmann's already in the race. Mitt Romney is almost 100% in the race. Yeah, Congressman Bachmann, right? And from Minnesota, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and we got Romney, Bachmann. I think those are the two really confirmed ones.
You got Pawlenty. He's also from Minnesota. But, I mean, look at him. I mean, you've got Wisconsin. I mean, is there anybody speaking out about the union issues? You see any men out there with any backbone standing up and any of the leaders saying anything?
They're terrified. They want to stay out of it and they want to get elected, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. They don't want anything, no smoke to get on their clothes.
That's right.
And see, that's not the kind of men you want. You want men that are going to be able to go into a fire when the actual home is on fire, and you want them to rush in, save your children, and bring them out alive.
Like the
you don't want
like
men
the wonderful...
to stand outside and look at the fire right. and say, "Oh boy, I better go in there, but maybe I better not. Maybe I better wait for help."
Right. And like
no,
the,
you need to.
We need men like the wonderful volunteer firefighters of Columbus and Brunswick County who rush in unpaid to go and help people.
Absolutely, 70% of this country is. They're still controlled by volunteer firefighters.
Wonderful.
And which a lot of people don't even know. Now, don't get the paid firemen are absolutely tremendous.
Absolutely, oh yeah.
No question about them. But the volunteers, they do it out of their heart. Not that the paid ones don't, because I know people that got into this business, that business, wanting to help people. And, you know, that's, you know, in reference to heart-wise, any job and every job should be respected.
Let's close it up with a quick final thought from you and what we're looking at as a country.
Well, I think what we're looking at as a country is we're looking at someone that is, you know, pushing an agenda on all of us. And they're not just pushing it, they're ramming it down our throats. You saw it with the health care bill. You saw it with the financial reform bill. These are, you know, you see it with the no drilling in the Gulf of Mexico, no drilling for oil anywhere. You see them with them buying up land so that they say they're using it for parks. Well, what it really is they're buying up land so that you can't drill for oil. We've got so much oil in this country, it's unbelievable. You could put millions of people to work right now if you just started drilling for oil.
Absolutely.
I mean, you would build, you know, pipeline. Remember the Alaskan pipeline?
Oh yeah.
I mean, you know, you could have all kind of work going on, but They don't want work going on. They want, because the reason, here's the reason. The bottom line of this whole thing is they actually believe in Washington, D.C., that they are smarter than you.
Right.
The average person out there running your house, they believe they are smarter than you. And that's the bottom line, and that's what we have to overcome. The silent majority has to rise up and take this country back.
And we're going to keep on doing it, and folks like you and Mr. Randy Dye, and we're going to keep praying and making sure we're going along the right way. And Mr. Hoover, I appreciate you being on, and appreciate our listeners out there sticking with us through the show. And I hope you all have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. And you're listening to The Patterson Show. Join us next week, 4 p.m. Friday, WTXY 1540. Tristan Patterson Show, your conservative voice for Columbus County.